Afternoon to you, 407 WMAL, where Washington comes to talk. Coming up, Congressman Byron Donalds from Florida, 4:30. 5 o'clock, we're joined by Jessica Mendez today, Vice President of Fight for Schools and a Loudoun County mother whose third grade daughter was punished today for not wearing a mask. This is what we're doing to the kids. And then at 5:30, Corey DeAngelis with a route out of all this craziness. School choice, he'll talk about that. It's all ahead on the Vince Colanay Show. You can join us at 888-630-9625, 888-630-WMAL. Do you feel the flame of liberty burning brighter right now? Do you feel like the energy around liberty is burning brighter right now? I do. I think people are sick of this crap. Just up and down the board, right? All of the impositions that have been forced upon them by the government. You know, last hour we were talking to Megan Rafalski. She's a Loudoun County mother and her husband, Adam. And Megan brought up something I thought that was very important. I found myself nodding very vigorously when she was reacting to the fact that Glenn Youngkin has said, like, look, just be patient. If we can get through the court process here, the parents are going to prevail. Just listen to your principals, you know. And there's a whole bunch of reasons to be very complimentary of Glenn Youngkin. He's fulfilled a bunch of his campaign promises right away, whether it's clawing out critical race theory, it's appointing people to these education departments who are going to help do that very thing. It's restoring, you know, the sense that the actual history is going to be taught in the schools, thank God, you know, and pulling out all of these mandates, coronavirus-type mandates, tyrannical impositions on people, whether they're government employees or they're students in the Commonwealth. But when he says stuff like, you know, well, look, all I'm asking is go with love, respect the principles for now, just listen to them, don't you worry, we're fighting this in the court process, you understand why someone like Megan Rafalski, whose kid was punished today for not wearing a mask and was threatened with being kicked out of the school entirely if he does it again, you can understand why she says, yeah, okay, I'm done being told to wait. I'm done being told 15 days to slow the spread. I'm done with all the goalposts moving. I'm here fighting for my kid. And she's not alone, man. I'm seeing it all over the place. All over the place. That spirit of liberty. The I've had enough reaction, right? Some kind of the Boston Tea Party feeling. That's it. We're chucking tea. It's everywhere. Look at Europe. I'll start at a distant place. Vaccine passport protests are all over Europe right now. People are against these passports. The show your papers in order to access buildings, to move about freely. Europeans are done with it. The Associated Press reporting, Dateline Helsinki, thousands of people gathered in European capitals on Saturday to protest vaccine passports and other requirements governments have imposed in hopes of ending the coronavirus pandemic. Demonstrations took place in Athens, Helsinki, London, Paris, and Stockholm. Marches in Paris drawing hundreds of demonstrators protesting the introduction from Monday of a new COVID-19 pass. That would be a government paper that shows the extent to which you've been injected with vaccines. It will severely restrict the lives of those who refuse to get vaccinated by banning them from domestic flights, sports events, bars, cinemas, and other leisure venues. That's the Associated Press report. In other words, you're not free to move in France, in Paris, unless you have the government paperwork. French media reported that demonstrators also marched by the hundreds in other cities. They point to Sweden. Now, remember, Sweden, that's an interesting one because early in the pandemic, how did Sweden come up? As one of the places where they were leaning in the direction of liberty, right? In Sweden, where vaccine certificates are required to attend indoor events with more than 50 people, some 3,000 demonstrators marched through central Stockholm and assembled in a main square for a protest organized by the, let me see if I can say this word, Frihetsrörelsen. That's about the most Americanized version of that as you could possibly get. Or the Freedom Movement, they're called. All right, so there's some freedom movements going on in Europe. And, you know, you see them in Australia, you see them in Europe. People just absolutely fed up with tyrannical impositions on their lives. Right here in the United States, right here in Washington, D.C., over the weekend, on Sunday, Over 30,000 people, over 30, I bet you the numbers are bigger than that, but what I'm hearing from the press here is over 30,000 people took to the streets in Washington, D.C., as the Daily Caller puts it here, for the Defeat the Mandates and American Homecoming March to protest draconian COVID-19 requirements. Protesters attending the march called for the end to COVID-19 vaccine mandates across the country. Speakers at the march included Dr. Robert Malone, a scientist who was instrumental in the invention of mRNA technology, and Stephanie DeGaray, whose daughter, Maddie DeGaray, became ill after receiving a COVID-19 shot in a clinical trial. So there were a bunch of people out there. One of the march organizers is a guy called Will Witt. He's a PragerU commentator, and he said to Fox News, quote, "You're going to hear a lot of people on the left say that this is a big anti-vax rally. It's people coming in to deny science. But this march is about the mandate," said Will Witt. "And this march is about the draconian measures that we're seeing all across this country right now, especially in places like D.C., New York City, Los Angeles, San Francisco. These requirements that people show so-called vaccine passports in order to get into the building." There's a bit of sound from the Stop the Mandates rally this weekend. Take a listen to this. Stand by. Here it is.
USA! 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 USA!
Yeah, the chance of USA. Always a good chant. USA, the old standby, it works pretty well. Feel pretty good when you hear a USA chant. I don't know. Is it, do lefties ever chant USA? Is it become a partisan thing? You have to be not a leftist to chant with pride about the country you live in. It's strange that it's become a partisan affair, but there you go. You got people chanting USA, USA out at the rally this weekend. And of course there's going to be diverse views at a rally like this. Huge range of views. I'm sure there's people who were just completely anti-COVID vaccine out there, or I guess what's probably better to put this as anti-COVID health supplement, given that the vaccines aren't stopping transmission at this point. They say they decrease severity, so that makes it kind of a health supplement, doesn't it? But you had protesters out there for a variety of reasons, but all fundamentally, if you draw that Venn diagram, they agree on one thing: get the government out of it. No more mandates. No more tyranny. The Biden administration continues to lose court battle after court battle, by the way, on the mandates, losing last week in Texas, at least for the moment, on the government worker mandate for the vaccine. They've already lost in the United States Supreme Court when it's come to the OSHA mandate, forcing private businesses to mandate the vaccination of their workforce. And they're facing a host of court setbacks all over the place. Thus far, they have prevailed at the moment on the healthcare mandate. So the healthcare workers have to be vaccinated as a condition of receiving Medicare and Medicaid funding. But the fight is on. The fight is on. And you're seeing people, I think, and I use this word finally standing up in streets around the planet and pushing back against this. And hopefully making some headway. Let's get Tom in Alexandria in here on line 5. Tom, good afternoon. You're on the Vince Colanay Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, just to support what you're saying, it's pretty widespread. Italy has been kind of tough. My wife and I were going to go back to see family over the Christmas holidays. My sister-in-law said, don't bother. Things are getting worse. They're not as bad as Austria or Germany, but they're getting worse here. Wait till summer. Plus, because of all the restrictions. And I figured, okay. But we watch Italian news regularly, and it's even more widespread. We just watched over the weekend as Italian news showed protests around Italy, but also some protests that got a little violent in Brussels, Belgium, too. It's not just a matter of getting vaccines. It's a matter of they're demanding that they can't go. Like in Italy, things got locked down so bad, you could not leave your hometown. My wife is from a little suburb outside of a city called Varese, which is about 45 minutes northwest of Milan. You're not allowed to leave your home except to go for groceries or whatever, and you can't leave your town, the police could actually stop you. What are you doing outside your town?
Yes.
And they could cite you for that. And they're just getting fed up because it's not helping. It's spread anyways. And they're making you wear masks outdoors while you're walking around and nobody around. There's nothing backing any of this. So there's a lot of pushback going on in Europe, all over Europe.
Yeah, it really is happening, and seeing the footage it's encouraging to see, but awful, a warning for the rest of us what things could be like. I mean, you think things are bad here, they could get worse. You look at European countries like Italy, you look at Australia, and the fact that when people fly into the country, they are imprisoned in a holding facility until their quarantine period is done. They're not even allowed to cross over taped lines on the ground in order to leave the area that they're living in. And so, you know, just amazing what's happening across the planet. And people are, I think, fed up with it.
Yeah, and here in the States, keep in mind those who are actually imposing all this, insisting on it, and they had the unmitigated gall of accusing Donald Trump of being the dictator.
That's right. Yeah, the authoritarian was Trump.
Who did none of it.
No, not for a moment. And in fact, as far as in all of his public comments, has stood against all of this craziness. And yet, here we are. I guess the only exception is the extent to which that guy, he should have fired Fauci. Let's be honest about that, at least. And Fauci's one of these guys who, you know, has enabled so much of the tyranny that we've seen at the hands of the government. Thank you, Tom. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tom. Finish that thought.
Okay. Yeah, my wife and I wound up getting it around the Christmas holiday. Very minor for us. And I, talking to my doctor, we came to the same conclusion. She said, yeah, the experts really don't know. They're guessing. And in our case, because the case was so mild, I think it's a combination of how strong is your immune system and how much of a dose did you get exposed to? I think my wife and I got such a light dose, it was, you know, a small number of particles that we're not able, because we both have strong immune systems, even though we're in our 60s, and they were able to battle off. It triggered, created the antibodies. We fought it off with very mild symptoms.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing is some of them want us to, after the case, being told, well, they're saying get a booster shot. For what? I just had this. Maybe next year I'll get the booster shot, but on top of just having had it,
I mean, the CDC, even the CDC came out this past week and admitted that natural immunity outperformed the so-called fully vaccinated status among people who were exposed to Delta. And so just, you know, there is science here, if only we would follow it. Thank you, Tom. On this issue of restrictions, you know, I do have to point out one other country here that nobody seems to talk about enough, which is China, the source of all of this misery, China. And the media has been very credulously reporting that they've had this successful communist lockdown of their country and they're moving towards zero COVID and nobody's really dying in China. Have you seen this? Routinely just regurgitating talking points from the Communist Party as if somehow China has been uniquely able to avoid COVID because of their great governance. And we just repeat these things like, oh, here's China's death statistics. Only 40 people or whatever the numbers are. I'm telling you, it's ridiculous. Just recently, it was, I think, two Fridays ago, Chinese health authorities were reporting a total of 23 new locally transmitted cases in five cities. 23. Do you believe that? Do you believe that for a second? The New York Times just credulously reports this. Well, the Chinese health authorities said 23 new cases in five cities. Come on. The whole thing's crazy. But even the New York Times has written recently that they think that China's house arrest policies are taking things too far. That they've gone ridiculously overboard. Even the New York Times thinks China has gone too far in trying to lock down COVID. I'm going to tell you just one of the most ridiculous stories out of China. This thing, it could be turned into a novel. I'll tell you about it in just a moment. But first, it's time to check in on traffic. It's, you know, China's COVID lockdown policies are so crazy that one woman found love as a result of them. It's almost like the Communist Party wrote this story. It was Shanxi province. Zhao King was on a second date visiting a man at his parents' home when the local authorities locked down the whole neighborhood. She had to quarantine with the family for 30 days. She says she got along well with the family. She's 28 years old. She had met this guy only once on a blind date before visiting his family's home. And last month, the authorities snap lockdown kept her there for 4 weeks. And the New York Times reports, and it seems changed both of their lives. She said he slowly won her heart and they plan to be engaged soon. Quote, lots of friends were curious about whether the blind date was a success, a beaming Miss Zhao said in a video on the social network Douyin last week. Of course it was. You know, when I first read this, I was like, man, even under these trying communist situations, they can find love. On second read, I realized this is just communist Chinese propaganda. I'm literally just reading propaganda. They're like, oh yeah, our lockdowns are awesome. People find love when we lock them down. This woman probably doesn't exist. Or if she does, there's a gun to her head. 4:30 WMAL. Good afternoon to you. 4:35 WMAL, where Washington comes to talk. Coming up today, 5 o'clock, Jessica Mendez will be with us, the vice president of Fight for Schools and a Loudoun County mother whose third grade daughter was punished today in Loudoun County for not wearing a mask. One of many kids that was done an injustice today. Corey DeAngelis, 5:35, will speak to us about what families can do in the face of this and what government officials who actually care about these families could do to help them. That's all ahead. You can join us at 888-630-9625. 888-630-WMAL. Joining us right now from Florida, Congressman Byron Donalds. No, he's not joining us. We're going to see. Okay, well, we're supposed to have Congressman Byron Donalds. We're in the midst of attempting to connect with the good congressman. Always like talking to him. But in the meantime, let me just say that it has been absolutely crazy to absorb all of this news today about the actual chaos that's going on in our school system. That's been the thing that has just really hit us here at WMAL so hard. And we've been telling you it's coming. And here it's finally here. Fairfax County is set to experience starting tomorrow, because remember, Fairfax County was off today, and they will have school tomorrow. So we're certain to get more stories from there about what it's like for these parents sending their kids to school mask free, and the way that the schools treat them. And the schools have just been, you know, as you know, completely out of control, especially in Northern Virginia. In fact, on that front, we get news today that the school systems, a bunch of them, have decided to sue the government. 7 Virginia school boards suing Glenn Youngkin. And Fairfax County Public Schools released this statement this morning. This is, I guess, a combo statement with all 7 of them. And here's what they wrote. Today, the school boards of Alexandria City, Arlington County, City of Richmond, Fairfax County, Falls Church City, Hampton City, and Prince William County have all filed a lawsuit to challenge the constitutionality of Executive Order 2 issued by the governor. The legal action, representing over 350,000 students across the state. Yeah, they don't represent the students. Come on. The parents represent the students. They represent their own interests, their own cruel political interests that makes the students the victims of these policies. They say they're defending the right of school boards to enact policy at the local level, including policies that protect the health and the well-being of all students and staff. A claim that has no supporting evidence, especially on the issue of cloth masks. How many scientists do we have to have on this program? How many experts do we have to bring out to demonstrate over and over and over again? Even Liana Nguyen, the lady who ran Planned Parenthood for a time, she came out and said that these cloth masks are useless. And yet we keep on imposing them on our children. our children have to bear the burden of the neuroses of adults, or of at least the tyrannical tendencies of those same adults, right? Are you a little sick and tired of seeing government officials show up at parties, no masks, and yet those same government officials will reflexively say that your child needs to be masked up in school? Even though the threat is way more meaningful to the vaccinated elected official than it is to a child who's unvaccinated? Are you sick of that yet? It's outrageous. So you get the schools now, all of these schools, and it's almost like they're trying to line up and say, hey, if you want to move to a county in Virginia, don't move to these counties. Alexandria City, Arlington County, City of Richmond, Fairfax County, Falls Church, Hampton City, Prince William County. So the rest of the schools in the entire state, most of them today, are honoring the governor's executive order and honoring the rights of parents not to have their children masked up. In fact, the private schools in the cities and the counties that are suing are right now today allowed the kids to enter the schools as the way their parents want them to be, wanted them to be, masked or not. But the government schools, no, they're throwing a hissy fit because they lost an election. And now they're trying to punish the students as a result. They say the legal action, this is the schools, the legal action centers on fundamental questions about the framework of public education in Virginia, as set out in the Virginia Constitution and by the General Assembly. At issue is whether locally elected school boards have the exclusive authority and responsibility conferred upon them by Article 8, Section 7 of the Constitution of Virginia over supervision of the public schools in their respective communities, or whether an executive order can unilaterally override that constitutional authority. Now, this is all very interesting because I remember not too long ago when a Democrat governor was in Richmond by the name of Ralph Northam, who could make whatever policy he wanted, and the schools all obediently went along with it. And none of them ever once questioned his authority to impose whatever sort of restrictions he felt like imposing on the rest of them. In fact, as the new Attorney General of Virginia has been saying, Ralph Northam, good old Governor Blackface, shut down the churches, right? He shut down worship services. He shut down businesses in the state. He closed schools. He mandated masks. And nobody once blinked within any of these school districts. They went along with it. The exception to that, to some extent, was the private schools. Some of the private schools tried to stay open, especially in Northern Virginia, and they were able to prevail. But for the most part, what you saw is a lot of reflexive obedience, especially on the part of the government schools. Because, of course, this isn't informed by science. This is informed by partisan politics. It's just a matter of, your team won. Now I'm going to punish you. They're acting more childish than the kids who they're supposed to be teaching. They're completely irrational. Ugh. It's like adults yelling at other adults because their kids aren't wearing masks outside. Why isn't your kid wearing a mask? They're serious people. Seriously, people have conversations like this. What are you, a child? And so the school system is acting like a bunch of juveniles. And they insist that the governor can't just do this through executive order, even though the governor got away with doing all sorts of things through executive order before. So then they point to a Senate bill, 1303. They say it was adopted with the goal of returning students to safe in-person instructions 5 days a week in March of 2021. It's still legally in effect, and it provides that local school boards should follow the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention health and safety requirements. So what they're saying is if the CDC recommends literally anything, we are under legal obligation to follow it. Now, of course, the CDC has been spectacularly wrong and has spread disinformation about a whole host of issues, to include the number of people who are hospitalized with COVID in the United States, or for COVID in the United States. It wasn't until recently that they began offering some clarity on things like that. And also, what the schools aren't acknowledging is that a separate Virginia law asserts without question, the rights of parents to make the ultimate decisions regarding their children's well-being. And so what you have today is Governor Glenn Youngkin insisting that this court process is now playing out and that this battle is going to result in a victory for the parents. But he's asking for something that some parents just don't have, which is patience. We talked to Megan Rafalski earlier, a parent, a Loudoun mother whose son was sent to the principal's office today and detained there until late in the day, until she could get that child, pick him up, and they're threatening to kick him out of school completely if he fails to put a mask on. No more coming into school without that mask on, or else you'll might be kicked out completely. They're going to punish him. Here's Glenn Youngkin this morning on WMAL on O'Connor and Company.
We're asking parents across Virginia to, in fact, first love your neighbor and respect your neighbor, listen to your principal today, and finally trust the legal process, because this is going to come out in favor of parents. And I look forward to continuing to fight for the rights of parents, because that's what parents sent us here to do.
Are you happy with Governor Youngkin's position here? That's what I want to know. 888-630-9625, 888-630-WMAL. Are you comforted by the actions he's taken so far? Are you pleased that he's fulfilling his campaign promises? One of the arguments that he's making and that others are making who are very supportive of him here is that we've seen a tremendous amount of lawlessness and disregard for the law and disregard for the courts and disregard for civil liberties on the American left, to include in places like Virginia. And so the answer to that is to assiduously follow the law, to follow the process, to win out, to do it the right way, to battle this court process out and to get and to secure a victory. Because we can't live in this age of chaos anymore. And I think a lot of parents hear that. They respect that argument, but they're tired of it. They're just tired of it. They want to see more action, right? Aggression on the part of these Republicans who've been given a mission, which is to liberate the families of Virginia from the tyranny of the Democrats who run so many of the institutions. That includes the school boards. So are you pleased with Governor Youngkin? Has he made the right decision here? 888-630-9625, 888-630-WMAL. And we'll get to your calls here in a moment. But first, I want to go to the Florida Congressman, Byron Donalds, who is on the phone right now. Congressman, good to have you with us, sir.
No, it's good to be with you.
These battles we're seeing play out right now in Virginia, this is, of course, the area that we're in, and we're seeing these parents who are fighting for the rights of their children. It feels to me, Congressman, like the flame of liberty is really starting to burn a lot brighter in the United States. I'm seeing, even just this weekend, marches, tens of thousands of people in Washington, D.C. coming out and saying enough with the vaccine mandates. What are you sensing?
Well, I think people are right. Everybody's pretty much adjusted to the reality, frankly, Florida has seen for quite some time. I mean, look, here's the deal. Is COVID-19 something people should take seriously? Yes. But the data has been clear, and what people have recognized has been clear for a long time. If you had COVID, you have natural immunity, you're okay. Like, you can get back to life. These vaccine mandates made no sense. They never did. It's a political response from Joe Biden, so he could say he killed the virus, which he's obviously failed at. But natural immunity is real. It's always been real. The other thing that has occurred is the vast majority of people recover from COVID-19. The vast majority. Kids were never the problem. Young adults were never the problem. It has always been people who are elderly and people with comorbidities. If people wanted to get a vaccine, they could get it. So why are you going to come with these top-down mandates to make people do something they don't want to do with their own body? Never made sense. Frankly, it's unconstitutional. And so that's why you've seen a revolt of people against the political left.
Yet in the midst of all of this, this crisis has been used as a pretext for really incredible grabs of power by the government, up to and including an attempted power grab of our federal elections process. Congressman, we've watched as Joe Biden has tried to overhaul and take power away from the states. What do you make of that?
Well, I think the biggest problem we have there is, I think you're right, you have a group of politicians who've made a determination that because people desire safety, it gives them the ability to do whatever they want. But that's not healthy for a republic because, look, what you're always, I always try to tell some of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, if you tell somebody to do something, automatically 30% of the population is just going to be opposed to you because you told them to do something. That's just the reality. Better to just give people information. But when you try to change all of society based upon what you call an emergency, when literally half the country doesn't even believe it's an emergency, you can't govern effectively. You definitely can't govern appropriately. And you're going to lose the support of the people.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened in America today.
All right. Florida Congressman Byron Donalds, unfortunately, our time's short today, but hopefully we can have you back soon, sir. Thank you for that.
We're asking parents across Virginia to, in fact, first love your neighbor and respect your neighbor. Listen to your principal today and finally trust the legal process because this is going to come out in favor of parents. And I look forward to continuing to fight for the rights of parents because that's what parents sent us here to do.
Governor Glenn Youngkin this morning on WMAL's O'Connor and Company. Your thoughts, are you pleased with Youngkin's call for a little bit of patience here? Donnie in Alexandria on line one, you're first up. Donnie, go ahead.
Vince, thank you very much for covering this. It's very important. I've got two sons, one in an Alexandria city school. The other we had to move out. For obvious reasons. And I support the governor 100%. I also support him, you know, saying we should be patient. We don't need any more chaos, and letting him run this process sounds like the right way to go.
All right, Donnie, thank you for that. A lot of calls here, so I want to jump, get to as many as I can. Bob is in Fairfax, line seven. Bob, good afternoon. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Vince, thanks for taking my call. So I do have five in the FCPS system. But here's the problem. Youngkin is a reasonable guy, but these are not reasonable times or a reasonable situation. If we play nice now, if we keep playing nice, wearing the masks, they're just going to come back and say, look, you're already wearing the masks. What's the problem? I think Youngkin should take more steps to add more pressure. He should sign another executive order if this is possible that says anyone refusing to wear a mask will be absolved of whatever disciplinary action is taken against them. Their suspensions will get wiped. Their disciplinary actions will get cleared from their records. The Republican Party should be already getting people lined up and primarying the current board members now.
Right.
This is something.
It's time to go hard in the paint, Bob. That's what you're saying. It's time to fight, and this is your opportunity. So seize it. Thank you, Bob. I want to grab Kara in Spotsylvania, line three. Kara, good afternoon. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I kind of feel guilty calling from Spotsylvania because our school board lifted the mandate.
Yes.
But I got to say, being there and watching and listening, I felt like I was with a bunch of Democrats, just the way that they were speaking to people. And so I want to say I agree with the governor just in the essence of respect. It's something that we hold still as a value as on the right and as Republicans. And I just feel how scary would we be walking in there silently, smiling with masks, knowing trust and respect for people when they still don't.
Kara, thank you for that call. I appreciate it. Let me get Bob in Winchester in here. Line eight, Bob, good afternoon.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a Youngkin voter. I'm not happy with how much of a wimp he's being. That other caller is right. He needs to be way more forceful. This is war. I mean, these people have chosen to turn it into a war. They're just being contrary because if Youngkin put a mask mandate in place tomorrow, these schools would say, we don't want masks. I mean, they're literally, it's like with Trump. Anything a Republican says, they are going to say the opposite. We have to fight. Youngkin needs to be way more forceful and make it clear. I made this order for a reason. You either obey it or the schools are going to start losing money. You know, something drastic should be done.
Bob, thank you. Yeah, what we're looking at, Bob puts it correctly, we're looking at an attack on families. So the actions Youngkin needs to take are not, you know, he's not the aggressor here. He's the defender. He's been called to be a bodyguard for these families. He has been called upon to protect the people of the Commonwealth. That is the mission here. He's arguing at the moment that he's on it, that he's fighting through the court process here. Matt is in Alexandria on line one, shares Bob's sentiment here. Matt, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. hey, if he doesn't have the guts and fortitude to do the job, step aside, let Winsome Sears take over. We don't need a Mitt Romney in the governor's mansion. Hey, sack up, sir.
All right, Matt, thank you for that. Mike in Fairfax calling in now, line three. Mike, your thought.
Yeah, hi. Hey, I think that he's doing the right thing. I think he's actually, I was a delegate of his, so I support him 100%. And I think so far, so good. He's trying to not make any waves, I guess, at this point. I did hear that his attorney general came out and said today that he hopes that they reverse Roe versus Wade. So, I mean, I think he's on track. And as far as the court ruling, I think he's doing the right thing by waiting for the court ruling to come down.
Yeah, thank you for that. You know, one of the things that I've noticed about Youngkin, and I think a lot of us have noticed, is that when conservatives speak up, when families speak up, when parents speak up, he does listen. He does change course. Remember that little scuffle just a week or two ago, right after he's about to come into office, and he names this woman to be education secretary. There's some suspicion on the right about her connection to the establishment and all these kind of deranged educational theories. And right away, he responds by appointing people like Elizabeth Schultz and others, just saying, look, I don't want there to be any confusion. I'm on the side of parents. And that's why it's so important that you speak up right now so the governor can hear it. It's 4:59.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.